Those opening songs, He is worthy of it all. He is good and He is merciful. Some of the characteristics of God are God. I mean, the one and only true and living God, right? That we are gathered here to worship today, amen? Yes, and we're going to bring it. We're thankful, Lord, for Your presence with us, not only today, but every second of our lives. You are there. If we just remember to turn to You, let us turn to You rather than turning away from You. So whether you're here physically or you're here online, God bless you. May you just experience and feel His presence as we worship Him today. Let us hear from God through His Word.
Good morning. The first reading is Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, now He will heal us. He has injured us, now He will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, He will restore us so that we may live in His presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring. O Israel and Judah, what should I do with you, asked the Lord? For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with judgments as inescapable as light. I want to show you love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. The second reading is Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for reading the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. If you want to head out for children's church, feel free at this time. Lord, we thank you once again for your word. May we encounter you in it in a very real way as you speak to our minds and our spirits. Amen. All right. So Jesus and the Pharisees once again. They have many encounters throughout the Gospels. The Pharisees, again, are all about following the law, and they had basically made the law their God. It was all about the law. Did I check this box? Did I do that this day? Did I do everything correctly? They're more worried about that than relating to God and doing the things that God asks us to do. So once again, we have Jesus setting them straight. I got to believe that Jesus respected them, their devotion, shall we say, the way that they wanted to do everything, right, to honor God. But they, again, were honoring the law above God and even making their own rules so they wouldn't even come close to breaking God's laws. And he wanted them to guide them back, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to love also your neighbor as yourself. And we see that once again here today. So again, the Pharisees are always looking for some little thing to catch Jesus on. And they're creating traps and stuff to catch him. They're always trying to catch him. Because he's preaching something different than what they're used to. Well, he is preaching truth, obviously. He is Jesus. So they observe Jesus and the disciples walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath. As they're going along, you know, I'm out pheasant hunting many times, I'll just sort of run my hand up and catch a bunch of seeds and then toss them out to plant some more of that long grass, you know, for nesting and everything like that, and cover. And they're doing the same thing. They grab the stalk and then just rip up and get the seeds and then pop them in their mouth for a snack, right? The Pharisees saw this and said, ah, they're harvesting on the Sabbath. We got them now. Well, they weren't harvesting to store up in their grain bins. They weren't harvesting to make money. They were meeting their needs. And God allows us to eat on the Sabbath, okay? You don't have to fast on the Sabbath. You can eat on the Sabbath. We're not to work. You know, we are to take a day of rest to praise God, to honor God, to observe things. But you can eat. And that's exactly what they're doing here. So Jesus reminds them about David. You can read back in the Old Testament where he and his men were hungry. So they came to the temple and asked the priest, do you have anything? Well, they just swapped out the bread. Every 7 days, they would bring in 12 new loaves of bread, and they would set it on this table, the showbread. And then the old loaves were to be for the priest to eat. That was the deal. Seven-day-old bread, but hey, okay. Then David and his men appear, and they had a need. And God allowed them to fulfill that need by giving the bread to David and his men. The Pharisees here were sort of caught. They didn't want to condemn David, obviously, because he is one of their heroes in the faith, and rightly so. He was a great man. So they're sort of stuck on that one. And then Jesus continues and says, haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath, duty in the temple, desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent? Well, yeah, the priests do work on the Sabbath. They worked every day, of course. They're offering sacrifices, and on the Sabbath, they had to offer two extra lambs, so they had to work even more and do all the priestly duties, attending to the altar and the sacrifices and everything else. And so Jesus is reminding them that it's okay to work on Sabbath if you're glorifying God as well. Alrighty. So he's got them on that. He counters both those with those arguments. He says, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. There's something more important than the temple, something more important than the laws, something more important than the Sabbath. And that's the presence of Jesus. And finally, the meat of this text here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That is the key here. We can offer all kinds of sacrifices, and indeed, through the Old Testament, they always did. We're going to hear more later on what God thought about that. And a sacrifice can be good. It's good to give to the Lord. It's great to give to others. But why are we doing it? To honor the law or out of our hearts? That is the question. Out of our hearts, right? That would be the proper way to do it. And well, what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it ought to be for our thankfulness to God, our devotion to him, our celebrating of his mercy that he shows to us, that we offer these sacrifices willingly. God loves a cheerful giver, it tells us in the New Testament. Yes, indeed. So the reason, the motive matters. And he's hitting them hard with this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You guys are great at sacrificing, he's telling the Pharisees. And they were. They observed every single dot of the law there. But were they showing mercy to others? Were they showing kindness to others? Were they showing love to others? Were they loving their neighbors as themselves? That is the question. By doing this, he's quoting Hosea. And the Pharisees, of course, are very familiar with the Old Testament, with all the prophets and what they said. And he's bringing this quote from Hosea to their attention and setting them straight on this. It's not all about the Sabbath. It's not all about the laws. It's about showing mercy to others, which we can do in many ways. We take the time to help others. Something as simple as taking the time to listen to others, to be there with them, just to listen, is to show mercy. You know, mercy isn't always about having authority or power over someone and then letting them, you know, go. Like a judge can show mercy. He or she has the ability to condemn you to a long sentence or show mercy and maybe give you a shorter one. But this is not the deal where we have power and authority over others. We just show mercy. We just show tenderness. We show kindness to others. And as Christians, that should show in our lives. That should define us in part as Christians, or in large part. Showing mercy, showing love, showing kindness to others. Not condemning others, but caring for them and caring about them. And seeking to bring them in and share the truth with them so that they can have hope for the rest of this life and for eternity. That is what we are to do. And for the right reasons. Not to build ourselves up, not to make ourselves look good, not to say, hey, I've saved this many people. No, it's God that saves them through us, right? He gets the glory. He is the one that does it. We are just his hands and feet. We offer ourselves up. So again, the motive matters here, and that's what it comes down to. So the Pharisees are too caught up in the law. They're missing the whole point. And Jesus sets them straight. He ends with, you would not have condemned the innocent. Okay, you would not condemn his disciples. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And that's where the encounter ends. I can't believe they didn't stone him at that point. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's saying that he is more important than the Sabbath, that he is God, basically. Wow. He was able to walk away. But what a claim and what a truth that he is. So honoring God then by showing mercy, by showing love, is more important than any sacrifice. And that's what he was recalling from Hosea for them. And we had heard those words from Hosea this morning as well. Hosea in chapter 6, he's one of the minor prophets, if you will. But again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's writing down truth for the people then and also for us now. He starts out, come, let us return to the Lord. Repent. We all turn away. We all stray at times. And we are to return to the Lord, and he will heal us, is what it tells us. We have been injured, but he'll bind us up. Well, we've been injured because we've gone our own way, right? God will put his blessing on us, but if he removes his blessing and lets us suffer the natural consequences of our actions, I guess that'll be understandable. Sometimes, do we have to learn the hard way? Okay, I know I do. And usually the third or the fourth time I start to get it, maybe, right? Okay, but no, God protects us with his blessing, and if he chooses to remove it for a little bit, let us learn the hard way. At times, maybe that gets through to us, and maybe that's what he's talking about here. I don't know. But our God is faithful, and he is faithful to forgive. When we return to the Lord our God, he is gracious and merciful, right? Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's going to welcome us back. It's like that prodigal son, right? And then a prophecy here. After 2 days, he'll revive us. On the third day, he will restore us. Yeah, okay, looking forward to Resurrection Day. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Yeah, because of him rising from the grave, because of him taking our sin on himself, we can live in his presence for the rest of our lives here, but directly in his presence for eternity. And that's what we were celebrating yesterday when we were reading Revelation 21. We were here, we were honoring Tom and his life, and that's where he is now. He is a believer. And we, as believers, look forward to that as well. So let us acknowledge the Lord, he writes. Yes, and press on to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all we say and do. And sustain it. He says to Israel, your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. They're going to praise God for a little bit, and it's going to sort of fade away. And then they're going to praise God for a little bit, and it's going to sort of fade away. Therefore, I cut you in pieces, my prophets, and the prophets were very blunt with them. I killed you with the words of my mouth. He brought them the truth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun. All right. But here's the key. Verse 6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And this is what Jesus was quoting. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. All these sacrifices, all these burnt offerings, he wants us to acknowledge him instead. That's more important. More important than sacrifices is to show mercy. He says, I desire that you would show mercy to others. That's what being a Christian is all about. Definitely not condemning people, but showing mercy to them. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we ought to do as well. Now, Jesus did condemn the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scribes, but in a way to redirect them, just to sort of get them back on track, he pointed out some things to them, okay, but it was for their good. And when someone is going astray, do they need to be told it? Yeah. And Lord, give us the words to do that. That when someone is headed down the wrong path and we seek to restore them, when we want them to turn back to the right path, when we want them to honor God and live in his ways, God, give us the words to do that. Because it's so easy to offend by trying to remind someone that, hey, you're headed down that wrong path. And we all do at times. And we need to gently restore each other. That's sort of an art. You know, you got to be diplomatic. You got to be tactful. You don't want to turn people further away, offend them. But I guess we all need it at times. So we need to remind each other to stay on track, to acknowledge God by what we say and do. All right, this idea of sacrifices being less important than mercy was also reflected in the psalm that we heard here today. All right, God speaking to the people through this psalm here. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of the goats from your pens, for it's all mine. Every animal, the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Does God need our sacrifices? No. Does God need our money? No. He doesn't need these things. But we seek to honor him through it is what we do, right? We're not sacrificing bulls and lambs anymore, but we're honoring him by how we give and what we say and do. We can sacrifice some of our own things. You know, like fasting is a type of sacrifice. We sacrifice our own desires, our hunger and things like that. Certainly a sacrifice. But again, doing it for the right reason. Not to say to everybody, hey, I didn't eat for a week, you know. No, to seek to draw closer to God. Again, it's the right reason. From the heart is the key to all of this. So he says, every animal of the forest is his. Absolutely. The cattle on 1,000 hills. He knows every bird in the mountains. And he has no need of this. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that is in it. It's all God's. All right, we are given a little bit to use, but it's all his. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? No, he doesn't need to eat or drink. He says instead, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Genuine offerings of thankfulness from the heart once again for the right reason. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. And you will honor me. So God does not need these things. He wants us to live in relationship with him, to honor him, and to sacrifice again for the right reason, from the heart. Finally, just a little bit from Isaiah that's going to build on this even more. Isaiah chapter 1. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fat animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And these people were offering every day sacrifices, even more on festivals and on Sabbaths. Isaiah writes from God, stop bringing meaningless offerings, just going through the rituals, just going through the rites, following traditions. Your incense is detestable to me. It's an insult to him if they're doing it for that reason. Just to do the right thing and check off the box, right? Even more, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Wow. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Again, not doing it for the right reason. But here it turns. God says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. To step in. If we see someone being bullied, and I'm not just talking on the playground. If we see someone being taken advantage of, someone who's oppressed, we are to defend them. Take up the cause of the fatherless. If there's an orphan out there, gather around, take them in, show them that they're loved and they belong. Plead the case of the widow, those that had no source of income back then and were at the mercy of the temple and the people around them. This is what the Lord seeks. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Very similar to a passage in Micah. Years ago, decades ago indeed, I was reading through the Bible a little bit at a time. I got to Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. Reading in the old RSV version, my old Confirmation Bible, and sometimes the words just jump off the page. And these did. Enough that I memorized these passages in the RSV. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come with burnt offerings, with rams a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require but that you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? All these offerings of thousands of rams, of 10,000 rivers of oil, I forgot that other verse in there too. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? It started out just with rams and burnt offerings, and they ramped up to thousands and 10,000, then our own, you know, children. No, he doesn't desire that. He desires instead that we do justice, to do what's right, to love kindness, to show mercy to others, and to walk humbly with him. Lord, guide us into living lives like that, that we can honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.